Good morning, Nach enthusiasts out there. We are going to be learning through Melachim Beis Perek Hey. This Perek is, in fact, about the story of the leprosy of Naaman. So let's learn about this. It is interesting that Rashi comments before entering the Perek itself, this Perek is actually told not to emphasize anything to do with Naaman, as we're going to see, but rather actually to emphasize the power of Elisha, as we have been talking about in the last Perek. So just to put that in perspective, another preamble to this Perek is actually rather contemporary, and that is that we know that Israel has been taking casualties from the Syria war over the last few years and sending them back and healing them, and there's been, you know, obviously under press, there's not been enough press on that because the world isn't interested in the only country which is actually helping those fighters and civilians are being hurt. But nonetheless, this is something to think about, you know, in the same kind of situation we are in this Perek. So what actually happens? So we're told about a fellow called Naaman, who is the general for the armies of Aram, in the area of Syria. And he was a very strong individual. In fact, he led many of the victories of Aram against their enemies, including Israel. And the only problem is that he had Tsaras. So what actually happened? So in one of his excursions into Israel, he captured a young girl and made her a maidservant for his wife, Ashes Naaman. And this young lady happened to mention one day that, you know, if your husband were to just go to Israel, there is this Navi over there who'd be able to tell you what to do about your tzaras, and you could get it solved. And so she told her husband, and he went over to the king, and the king sent a message to the king of Israel, he sends him a whole bunch of silver, a whole bunch of gold, and clothes, and says, I'm going to be sending my general Naaman, please heal him and from his tzaras. Upon hearing this, the king of Israel, Yehoram, got very terrified. He tore his clothing. He says, am I a god to heal and to live, to kill or to heal? And he got very scared about this. The Mepharshim point out that the Radak says is that he thought that this was a pretext. He thought this was an impossible challenge which would lead into immediate war, which would escalate into the loss of territory and many victims, which is why he was so scared. In the meantime, Elisha hears about this and he says, why are you getting all upset? Why are you getting bent out of shape? Let him come to me, and you'll know that there is a prophet in Israel. And that's exactly what happens. It is interesting, by the way, just to note before going further in the Perek, that the Malbim points out that there's a few extra pieces that we missed in this, and that is number one is that this he was clearly healthy in every other aspect. Tanakh emphasizes that he was a healthy man, and all it was that he had tzaras. So this tzaras was clearly a spiritual defect, which is why did he get this? Because of the actual battles he had with Israel. So it's interesting. The reason for his illness, his spiritual illness, is his battles with Israel, but he seeks help from Israel to actually heal it. Another interesting thing to note over here is that, remember there was that mysterious archer in the battle against Israel, between Aram and Israel in the previously, who had shot a random arrow which had entered through the chainmail of Achav, killing Achav. So the Chida points out that who is that? That archer was Naaman. So I mean to say, Naaman is really an arch enemy of Israel, if you think about it. And it's interesting that they're sending him to Israel for healing, which you can imagine the fear that Yoram is experiencing. Anyway, so what happens is Naaman comes with his whole entourage to the house of, or to the tent of Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even see him. He just, he sends out a messenger and he says, prescription is, Naaman, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be pure. And Naaman kind of feels a little, put off. You know, the doctor isn't even coming out to see him kind of thing. You know, he's left in the waiting room and he's, given a prescription. So he goes on, he says, well, we have great rivers in Aram. We have the Euphrates up where we are. Why do we need to, dip in the little, the brook of the Jordan? So his servants turn to him and calm him down and say, Naaman, you should really listen. Elisha really is the power. So that's what he does. He goes to the Jordan River, dips to 7 times, and boom, his skin returns to normal. He's like, it's like a nar katon. It's like youthful, fresh skin, and he's pure. And he is so overwhelmed by this experience that that he actually returns to the house of the Ish Elokim, and he comes with all his chariots and his camp, and he says, now I know that God is in Israel, and please take anything you want. And Elisha says, thank you, but no thank you. Naaman says, no, you really got to. So Elisha refuses. So Naaman says, you know, I believe in Hashem. I'm going to sacrifice to Hashem from now onwards. And even when I'm going to have to go to Beis Rimon, which is this polytheistic worship house, and I have to be with the king, and the king's going to bow, and I'm going to have to bow. Hashem will have to forgive me, but I'm not going to be bowing to Beis Rimon. Really, I'm just doing it perfunctory because of respect for the king. But I serve Israel, and Elisha sends him in Shalom. Really brilliant, beautiful, beautiful moment over here that we're witnessing. Just before going further, just one or two basic questions, points to ponder is, why would it be that Elisha doesn't meet with him? Elisha, hey, as the general of the foreign army, you know, just be a mention, go out and meet him. What's going on over here? The Malbim points out that Elisha was so particular. He wanted to make sure that this individual would never think there's witchcraft. Meaning, if he were to see him, and Elisha, would whip out some sort of special cure, then he could say, yeah, Elisha's a good sorcerer. Elisha's a good witch doctor. But what Elisha did was, without even seeing him, without even trying to analyze what it could be that he could an ointment or this or that, Elisha just tells it to him. It's so clear and evident that this is the word of Hashem being expressed here. It wasn't anything to do with his sorcery abilities. Why does he not accept a gift? So the Malbim points out very, very basically, this is the general of the enemy. He had no right to heal him if it were not for the fact that Hashem gave him the permission to do this. Meaning, let the guy live with leprosy. Let him live a terrible and suffering life. The answer is, Hashem wanted to display Kiddush Hashem. And Kiddush Hashem needs to be done for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, not for the check at the end of the day. That's what Elisha was displaying over here. And if that's true, that now just sort of sheds light on the end of the perek. Because the last episode in the perek is a bit of a tragic one. And that is Gehazi. Remember, he's the young servant of Elisha. Witnesses the whole event, sees the king leaving, and there's no paycheck, no tip, nothing. Gehazi gets very upset, and he says, you know what? This is a moment, this is an opportunity. He runs off after Naaman, Ba'od Kiras Eretz, just a short amount of territory. Where else in Tanakh does that word appear? Just for food for thought. And he runs off after him, and he catches up, and he says, the king actually said that he he wouldn't mind being paid, if you send back 2 talents of silver with the servants, and some clothes. And that's what he does. Now, Naaman very obligingly gives him the credit, gives him the money, and sends him on his way. Gehazi returns home, and Elisha says, may I, Gehazi? So where did you come from? He says, Lai halach abdecho anavana. No, I didn't go anywhere. Elisha turns to him and says to him, you know what? Even if he'd given you, basic stuff, basic rewards, you shouldn't have taken it. The tzaras that Naaman had will be with you and your children forever. And as Elisha walked out the room, immediately Gehazi turns white with the tzaras. Just an interesting point to think about as closing this perek, and that is, it sounds like Hashem is going to create the Kiddush Hashem by hook or by crook. Elisha was displaying the Kiddush Hashem by not accepting payment, but Gehazi burst that bubble. Gehazi deflated that, because now Naaman's going to say, that man of God, he's still interested in getting his sandwich buttered. He's still interested in the money. Gehazi deflated that. So Elisha says, you know what? The Kiddush Hashem is going to come through you, Gehazi. You're going to have the tzaras. It's going to be clear that Hashem controls this institution. Hashem controls this enterprise. And so Gehazi becomes the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem, because he was Mechalel Shem Hashem. This closes the perek. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.